Shalom Yisrael. We do greet you in the mighty name of Yahweh, in the precious Tikvah, the hope of Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Yisrael. Here's a dynamic message of Torah teaching and revelation of the power of Yahshua HaMashiach. May your heart delight in this truth in Yahshua's mighty name.
Now come on, lift your hands. Hallelujah! 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 We shall wait upon you, Almighty Yah, as you impart unto Israel the bread and the necessary meat for the battle and the journey that is ahead. We ask you to watch over us. Bless Israel, I pray. And touch us all tonight, your manservant, that he may speak with clarity and simplicity for the house of Israel. We ask all things in Yahshua's mighty name. Israel cried, hallelujah. 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 Look to your neighbor and say, my friend, may Yah speak to you tonight. Shalom, shalom. And he shall. Yah barak you all, you may be seated. For he shall speak unto the Bayit of Yisrael. And that is the most important and valuable thing that we have in this hour. That he speaks unto the call out, those that have been elected by his sovereign choice. So we do barak him for that. And that is the blessings of Yahweh rest upon him. That we bless his name. We give strength and credence unto his mighty name. For there is no other excellent name that we can call upon but the name of Almighty Yahweh. It is important that we understand what he has for Israel. It is very valuable to us, brothers and sisters. That is why the enemy tries to do all he can to take us away from the beauty of Scripture. Therein lies our strength and our comfort. We began to understand what the Book of Life speaks unto the elect. And those that have been called by his purpose, it is his own purpose that he called us. And he elected Israel. This is a generation that is a generation that is consumed with slothfulness. It is a sloth. The mind of this generation, it is a sloth generation. It does not react to what Yah speaks to it. This is a generation that takes no delight in the comforting of his imat, his truth. That it is the truth of Yah that meets every need that we have. This is truth that brings the comforts. It is this truth that brings the assurance unto Israel. If we are looking for comfort, if we are looking for anything from this world, we have already deceived ourselves. For it is not coming from this spirit of this age that is produced by the vilest thing of darkness, Shaitan. It is seductive and it seduces the mind away from the comfort of the things of Almighty Yahweh. It is something that plays on the sensuality or the fleshly desire of man and not on the eternal things that lead him into the presence of Almighty Yah. It is one thing that he is going to do. It's not going to be done by you or me. It must be done by him. And if Yahweh does not operate in this function, then we all are going to be lost. He must watch over the house of Israel. And if Yahweh does not watch over the house of Israel, then we all are going to be lost. We must understand that it is his watchful care. It is the care of Almighty Yahweh. It is his diligence and his vigilant guards of Israel. For he guards Israel with the substance of whom he is, with the identity of whom he is. And he is going to guard the house of Israel. I want to read a verse out of the Apocrypha, out of the Book of Wisdom. As I was sitting there on the first day of the week, pondering scripture and looking into the depth of Scripture and trying to understand the definition of words and trying to understand with clarity. In all of our getting, we must get understanding. We are a generation that talk at lib, and we have no understanding of what we're talking about. That is the most vital essence of this knowledge that we have, that we get understanding of it. You will never get understanding of the truth of Yahweh if there is no time spent with Him. You can never understand the importance and the value of what He speaks unto you unless you receive them in a fashion that they are valuable and important. The truth of Yahweh is not a very valuable thing in this hour. And He tells us to buy the truth and sell it not. It is very valuable unto Israel. It is the sustaining power unto Israel. We are very anemic. We don't have the strength that it's going to take to overcome the opposition of hell. Powers of darkness that draw from Israel, or draw from the substance of Israel, the bread that we eat. So we must be strong in the faith. We cannot turn a blind eye in this hour. And unless Yahweh watches over Israel, then woe unto us. I want to read this. Listen. It says in the book of Wisdom, in the book of Wisdom chapter 4 and verse 15. It is a very profound illustration of the power of Almighty Yahweh. Not only does this watching over Israel, His care for Israel, not only does it mean, or it has the connotation that He sees us and He understands what we're doing, but it's beyond that meeting, brothers and sisters. He looks into the distance. He sees far beyond what we see. He sees beyond the peripheral that we look out of. And unless Yahweh watches over us, we're not going to be guarded. Shema, we're not going to be kept. And the words are so profound in this simple verse. It says, yet the people saw. We had understanding. We perceive we had understanding. And yet they did not understand. We are a generation without understanding. They saw the very works of Yahweh. They saw the power of His HaMashiach. They saw His deliverance. And we all can testify as to how we were delivered from the bondage of sin. From the yoke and the bondage of an oppressive sin nature. How He delivered us. We have all seen, and yet we do not understand the very power and the workings of Almighty Yahweh. They saw. They had a perception, but it was not based upon the works that was presented unto them. That is why the mind of this generation is so twisted. We see much today, but we do not understand. We perceive much in what we see, but it's not internalized. We do not understand what we're looking at. You can take a picture and we all look at the picture and we will all define it in different ways. There is only one truth. There is only one immersion or baptism in the body of HaMashiach, and there is only one mighty one of Israel. So they saw, but they did not understand nor take such a thing to live. They did not take it to heart. They did not believe what they saw. And because they did not believe it, it was not of importance unto them. When something is not of importance unto us, we do not take it to heart. And what Yahweh instructs us in, we must take it to heart. We must believe it. We must receive it. It must be a part of our lives. It must be interwoven into our lives that produces our actions, our thoughts, and our desires. Because if we do not, my friends, then we're going to be like the blind ones walking without any direction, not even on the path that we are taking. They saw, they did not understand. They did not take it to live. that Yahweh's unmerited favor and his mercies are with his elect, his bohia, those that he has chosen, those that he by his own sovereign choice has elected. We don't truly understand that. That the kindness and the mercies of Yahweh, they are with his elect. Those that he has chosen, those that he has called, and those that he has placed his seal of approval upon. They have seen, yet they did not understand, because they did not believe the living word. That Yahweh's kindness, his tenderness, is with his elect, the ones that he has chosen, his elect chosen ones. He watches, he watches over his Kadosh ones. Do you understand? That only Yahweh watches over those that he has elected. Oh, he watches over the Sudika and the Rab or the wicked. But he beholds his heart, his mind is with those that he has elected, the Kadosh ones that are elected according to his sovereign power. And unless he watches over us, we are not going to be preserved. Unless he guard us, our minds, our thoughts, and guard our ways, then we will go estranged from him. We see things and yet we do not attribute it unto him. And the reason we do not attribute it unto Yahweh, because we don't understand the ways of Yahweh. And the reason we don't understand of Yahweh, they are not real in our inward parts. They are not made alive. Yeshua to many is simply an expression of their lips. He is not the power and the strength of this living Torah that brings promises unto Israel. We have seen many feats of Yah, but yet there is no clear understanding that we attribute it to him. And the reason we don't attribute it to Yahweh, because we do not take it to heart. And so the issue that flows from us, it is not an issue whereby we love him. It is not an issue where we care for the things of Yah, because our issues are the things that flow from us. They are very sensual, they are very carnal, and they are not based upon the understanding of the Torah of Almighty Yahweh. We must understand that Yahweh will safa. He will watch over. He will look into the distance. He will guard. He will preserve. He will keep. He will keep them in place, those that are his elect. And unless he keeps us in place, we are going to be deceived, we are going to be bewitched, and we will find our minds moving away from the things of value, and the only thing that is of value is the truth of Almighty Yahweh. How often is your mind given over unto carnal sensual things? How often is your mind removed away from the things of Yahweh? How often is your mind taken by this mythical power of your imagination, whereby the thought or the understanding of Yahweh doesn't even course your thought process? Because we don't take it to love what he has done. He has saved a miserable wretch out of the pit of hell, out of darkness. We don't take that to heart. And when you take something to heart, it has a great value. You place a great value upon that. And so what Yah has done, there is no value added to what he has done. It is not looked upon as something that is valuable, essence to my life. This is what I need to sustain me and to preserve me in the battle of even my mind. We don't take it to heart. It is no pleasure. And what Yah speaks unto Israel, but those that are his elect, his chosen, the remnant of the seed, those that he has set apart for his purpose, he shall watch over them. He shall make sure that they are watched. He shall carefully guard them. He shall preserve their minds. He shall preserve their ways. He shall preserve them in Yeshua, because he is the preserver of Almighty Yahweh. And without the knowledge and the truth of Yeshua, you cannot be preserve. We cannot take the things of HaMashiach that we have learned, that have been opened unto Israel in a living way, and not take it to heart. We must take it to heart. It must be the issue that flow from our hearts. Now you know how we take things to heart, don't you? If there is something that is said that is a reproach unto you, you take that to heart. And then you allow the issue to become implanted in your inward parts, in your mind, and you never forget that, right? That is the truth, my friends. And so because we do not understand the ways of Yah, we don't take them to heart. And our hearts do not flow with the issues of the things that regards Yahweh. The things that flow from our hearts regards the flesh and the indignity of the flesh and the wickedness of the flesh. So we must take this understanding to heart. That the issue may flow from the living stream that flow from our inward parts. That he may be real unto us. And in knowing that, we know that he will watch over, he will suffer, he will watch over, he will guard us. He will guard our minds, he will guard our identity, he will preserve us in the midst of the greatest battle that we will be battled by. He will preserve Israel. He is the one that will preserve us, and he will watch over us. And without him watching over us in this hour, we are going to lose, my friends. He must watch over Israel. He has to be the one. And we must understand, my friends, we must take to heart what he has instructed us in. We cannot allow the things to fade out of our thought process or our memory. It's amazing that we can remember such trivial things that happened 10 years ago. We can remember such animosity that happened 6 months ago. But when it comes to the things of Yah that we must retain, that they will give us strength, we cannot remember what was preached on the Shabbat. And the reason why, because we do not take it to our lab. It's not taken to heart. It was one thing that our parents in my days would say. They would say, son, take it to heart. Make sure you do not allow this to escape you. And when we take the things of Yahweh to heart, we will not allow them to escape us. I want him to watch over me. I want Yahweh to watch over me. Because I cannot preserve myself. I do not have the ability to watch over me. It is by the power of his Ruah, his spirit, that he empower men that they may watch over the body of Yisrael. And when they see the lack and when they see the anemic spirit, they will impart into the body the necessary nourishment that the body may grow strong, that it may be vibrant, that it may be prepared for the battle that is ahead. If we are not strong enough, we're not going to be prepared for the battle. It is one thing that a mighty, powerful military power does. It always watches over. That's why the kings, when it was time for battle, they will go forth with the military that they may watch over the battle. And so Yah is the almighty king, and he is going to watch over Yisrael. Not only Yisrael, but his Kadosh. Kirusham, the people of Yah, he shall watch over them. That is no misnomer. That is the truth. Look what it says in First Samuel. We understand that the eyes of Yah, they're in every place, beholding the tav or the wrath or the evil and the tav. His eyes are in every place. He sees everything, my friends. Nothing gets around him. We're not going to escape the mishpat of the judgment of Yah. He makes his presence known when he sees the evil things that are arising in us, that he brings judgment. And in that, then we give him Torah for that, because that is his watchful care over Israel. If he did not watch over us, when he sees the evil, he will not respond to it. But when he sees the evil, he identifies it. When he sees the things that we are doing that are so erroneous and wrong against the principles of the Torah, that he will speak to that regard.
The man of Yah will deal with the situations and the circumstances that we think that are hidden from Yah, but they are not, because he is the watchman. He watches over Israel. And that is why he would install, he would send the Norbis, the men of authority, that they would watch or sit in the gate of Jerusalem, and then they could see, they would watch, they would see those that were coming in for the Shabbat, that were not prepared, they were not properly dressed, their minds were not at shalom, and then they would deal with them. He must watch over us. It's a beautiful thing that he watches over us daily, and every second, every hour. And he sees the tough things we do according to his Torah principles and the power of Yahshua. And he sees the wicked and the evil things too. Hallelujah. He sees that. And when he sees the wicked thing, that he sends the swift judgment. That your sins will be blotted out. That it may bring this teshuva or the repentance to our minds. That we will remember the mighty works of Yah. It will give us understanding of the destruction of sin. That we will not so easily go that way again. And we take it to heart. You say, I will never do that again. Have any of y'all ever said that? Hallelujah. And yet you did it again? Because we truly didn't take it to heart. When you truly take it to heart, there is a strength that is imparted in you. And so when the situation arises again, you have the fortitude of that strength, you have the wisdom of that experience, and you're able to overcome every time. We need a watchman. We need Yah to watch over us. We need him to sofa over us, to see beyond what we can see. You understand that watching, he sees not only the day, but he sees death as well. He sees 10 days down the road, and he sees 500 days down the road. He sees everything. He's aware of everything that will approach us. He's aware of everything that shall try us. Now, if we are the elect, if we just remember what we have seen him doing, and we have understanding of that, and take it to heart, then we have great confidence in how he watches over us. And so whatever thing transpires, we will give him Torah, we will praise Yah, because he is our watchful master. We know that he is directing us in the right path. He watches over every footstep you take. I'm glad of that. Have you ever stumbled and fell and you looked to see who saw you and you felt silly? I know I have. Seems like that is the most embarrassing thing, isn't it? And so when we stumble and we fall in sin, tell the Yah that he is there watching over us. And say, you're filthy. And then it's by the precious hand of Yahshua that he pulls us out of the mire of that stench and cleanses us up. I have no problems with that. Hallelujah. Because if he did not, I would be the most miserable thing upon the face of the earth. And you were too. It says here in Shemuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. Hallelujah. This is the song of Hannah, as she was giving thanksgiving unto Yahweh. Hannah, as she gave thanksgiving. The whole psalm or tehillim of Hannah is very beautiful. If you begin at the first verse, you will understand the beauty of this psalm. I want to read two verses here. She says here, hallelujah, the psalm of Hannah. She says, he raises up the poor out of the dust, and he has, hasn't he? Poor, broken in the ruah. We had nothing to offer him. Come on, my friends, what do we have to offer? Nothing but Torah, raised hands and brokenness. We did not have money. We did not have wealth. We did not have the substance of this life. And he raised us up out of the dust of the earth. And he lifts up the beggar from the dunghill, from the hill of putrefied stench. And we were all beggars. We were trying to find a way. We were in the dunghill digging and didn't even know that we were in the dunghill. To set them among the princes, czars, among those that are of character that a poor man has not, and to make them inherit the throne of beauty and splendor. For the pillars of the earth are Yahweh, for the pillars of the earth are Yahweh's, and he has set the world upon them. Listen in the next verse. He will guard. Shema, he will guard the feet of his Kedoshans. He will guard our feet. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. Do you all hear that? That he will guard the feet of his Kedoshim. The steps of a tough man, they're ordered by Yahweh. So the path he takes your feet, he has ordained them that way. But there are afflictions, Todayah, for that trial of experience that brings about a refining to one that you will be strong when the opposition come against you. So in all things you give him Todah. I don't care what the trial is. He guard your feet that they will not slip or fall. That's all right. You have tried to guard your feet, have you not? Your feet have taken you places you knew you should have gone. Your feet have caused you to go places that your mouth began to speak, and you found yourself in a hellish mess. But Yahweh, he will keep, my brothers and sisters, he will guard our feet from falling into the snares of the wicked. He will keep our feet from going into the pathways of unrighteousness. He is the guard. He is the watchman over the house of Israel, because he has elected a people that he is going to preserve unto the end. He is going to preserve Israel unto the end. He shall guard. He shall shomah, protect and guard. Preserve. He shall watch your steps. He shall make sure that the steps of his elect ones are guarded. And we are the elect ones of Yah. You will know your elect because he will constantly keep the purging power of his mishpat, his judgment upon you. And when your feet began to go in a different direction, contrary to what Torah teaches, he will swiftly reprove you and show you the error that you are walking. There are many that are in error, and yet they do not know that they are in error. Show me my way, Yah. Guard my path. Guard my steps, that my feet do not slip. I don't want to slip into the darkness of hell, into the ravine of darkness where my mind is segregated from Yahweh, whereby I have not laid it to heart what he has spoken unto me. I don't want to walk that way. And unless he guards us, unless he watches over us, then we will go that way. You find your mind unprotected, your thoughts unguarded, then you know what will enter into your thought process. And don't tell me we're not capable of committing the things that our minds will imagine. That's why we need that mind of Yahshua that watches over us and guards us, preserves us and keeps us. Look at the trouble your own mind has gotten you into. Look at what things your own mind has conjured and said. It is repulsive. It is insane. It is wicked. And yet the mind of Yahshua guards us and watches over us from the indignant things of the world, that he will preserve us and keep us. We're taking it to heart. We retain that in our minds. It is the preserver. And that is the only thing that is going to preserve Israel. Nothing else. Nothing else. Look at what David cried in Tehillim. Psalms 25:20. He says, and you must understand, my brothers and sisters, the shofar. It is the ruah of Yah being the watchman over one. It is his ability to give attention diligently unto your circumstance and to keep guard of us. It is the shomah, he keeps guard of Israel. That is why he watches over them. He watches over us to keep guard over us. And when one is keeping guard over us, there is a close observation. And they see everything. They're given over unto details. Their mind is given over unto the attentiveness of details. So there is not one detail of our lives that Yah does not see. He sees everything. David said in the midst of his great trials and his battles, he cried out unto Yahweh, O keep guard, O keep or guard my soul, Yah, and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Keep watch over us, Yah. Keep guard over me, Yahweh. When Yahweh does not keep guard over us, we have brought shame upon him. This should be our cry. Oh, Yah, Shoma, Sofa, guard me. See me, see my ways, Yahweh. Guard me, Almighty Yahweh, and deliver me from what? From you. From you. From your own concepts, your own corruptness. Your own vile nature, my friends. It is not the nature of your neighbor that causes you to commit such atrocities before Yah. It is your own corruption, your own sinful activities that you have not given heart to the things of Yahweh. And when we lay it to heart, when we let it be it becomes a pillar in our minds, we will not commit those things so aggressively the way we do. He must guard Israel. Keep guard. Guard. Keep. Guard. Shema. Preserve. Watch over my being. My entire being. My soul. And deliver me. Deliver me from this from this bondage of my own mind. Unless, Yah, I bring shame upon you. For I put my trust, my confidence in Almighty Yahweh. Now ask yourself that question. Come on, just ask yourself that question in your own mind. Do you truly put your trust in him? Do you truly have total confidence in him? Is there a genuine trust in him? Or is there simply a formality for expedience to look nice, that others may perceive that you're genuine? It means nothing, my friend. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. It is of no substance, no value. That's why David said, unless let me not be ashamed. I don't want to bring Yah to that kind of humility. It is almost when I was a lad, I would think like this. I certainly did not want to bring humility upon my mother. I did not want to induce certain shame in the home. I really did not. Even though I failed miserably at that, there were things that I would guard myself against. I did not want to do those things because I knew the implications of those things. And there are things that we do, we must understand the implications of those things. That it brings accusations not only against us, but against the Most High. Are you guarding that thing called David? Is that a part of the elect remnant of Israel? That is why we delight in him watching over us, the Shomra of Yah, that he will preserve our minds and protect us, brothers and sisters. We need his faithful watch over us. Every time we've tried to watch, we have failed miserably. We have done every kind of corrupt thing it is. We have practiced things that were so vile. When Yahweh watches over us, we will take to heart what he has done. We will not so easily forget what Yahweh has done for us. And our minds will be reminded of that. Our hearts, our love will be reminded of that. And the more we remind ourselves of that, the more we love him. The greater and the more intense our ahava. That is why the enemy has stolen the most intimate thing away from us. And that is time in the scripture with Yah. It is almost like this. A young virgin, she waits for the virgin man of her life. And he's gone off to the war. And she only has one letter from him. And she reads that letter over and over. Although she knows it by heart, she reads it constantly. Every day, many times during the day. Although she knows every word in the letter, but it brings about this comfort and strength in her indwellings. Although that's the only letter she has, she reads it constantly, and vice versa with the man. He's on the battlefield. His life is on the line. And the only thing he has is that letter of comfort that has been written by that love of his life, that pure one. And he reads it over and over. When he's sad, he reads it. When he's lonely, he reads it. When he's down, he reads it. When he doesn't feel well, he reads that letter. Oh, that is the truth. He reads it. When he's feeling miserable, he reads it. And yet the letter lightens him up and causes this fervor to germinate within his heart, because he knows that that is a true love. And when there is a true love, and when there is an understanding of the true love of Yahweh, then this love book, this book of Ahava, we love it and we read it. You cannot get enough of it. And when there is a hatred, there is no time for it. And that is the truth, my friends. And so we can judge our own love by what time we spend with the one that we say we love. The woman will read the letter 100 times a day. She knows it by heart. The issue is not that she knows it by heart. She wants to see the writing in the letter, because she knows the penmanship of the one that has written that. So it is with the word of Yah. It has been sealed by the blood of Yahshua. It's more than just hearing it, but it's an affair that we love Yah, that our minds are consumed with what he says. We are reassured. We are comforted. We are settled by what he speaks unto us. It's nothing like the moment of quietness when you have the time. You can steal away with Almighty Yah. And you find the resolve of what you need in the book of Almighty Yah. And because he is not vigilantly watching over you, because you're not watching over his truth, then you don't sense that commitment unto him. So you'll go about your own strange, corrupt, vile way, and committing all kinds of atrocities unto Yah, every kind of sinful practice. It is permissible. We defy the Torah of Yah. I want him to guard me, my steps. I want Yah to guard my mind. I don't want to bring him to any shame, because I trust in his truth. And in order to understand his truth, can I show you a scenario or a metaphor that we can equate to scripture? If you've ever flown on an airplane, it's one thing about pilots. They will always have books and charts. And they, even though they have flown that route hundreds of times, literally hundreds of times, they still will carry the proper books and their proper instructions, and before they do anything, they go through the analogy of that instruction and they read it. That is the truth. And so when it comes to Yah, the most important thing in our lives, we do not take the book and let it become the analogies of our lives and to see what we're missing, and we read it constantly that it may show us, just one little mistake, my, and the leaven, just a little leaveth the whole lump. And one small infraction by the pilot, the plane goes down. Dave France said to me the other day, he said, Pastor Robert, he said, I know that when I fly this plane, 15 seconds, that's all it takes, and I am a dead man. The procedures, all they know them. They constantly refresh their minds of those procedures. They constantly, when they're flying, they have their books open and they're constantly out looking in the cockpits, and that's what they do. But when it comes to Yah, it is not a refreshing there. We don't refresh our minds. Brothers and sisters, what our minds have been watched over by the enemy of our soul, and all of our thoughts have been based upon carnal analogies. We need our minds to be refreshed. We need that trash to be thrust out. It must be. I'd rather lie down in bed with the refreshing truth of what scripture says than with what some carnal analogy that I have perceived in my mind. Watch over me. Speak to me. And he is going to speak to Israel by the power of Yahshua. And you will never know the power of Yahshua because he is the word made flesh, isn't he? Then you must study the word of Yahweh. That's why we don't take it to heart, because we do not see what he has done. We don't believe it. We have no understanding. And because we have no understanding, we do not take it to heart. Yah will watch over his Kadosh, those that are set apart, elect, seed of Israel. And in this hour, when the powers of hell are roving and watching over everyone, we better have someone watching over us that is much more powerful. When your own mind watches over you and your own thoughts are so distant from Yah, because your mind has not been trained up in the way of His Emet, you got to get something much greater than your natural mind watching over you. You have to train this mind. And the way you have the mind of Yahshua must be trained by the living words. You're not going to get this by some kind of mystical formula, something going to drop from Hoshemayim into your wicked mind. That mind has to be reduced where it doesn't battle against the integrity of the truth of Almighty Yahweh. That is the truth. Our minds fight against what He speaks unto us. It rebels, it rejects what Yahweh speaks unto Israel. We need the mind of Yahshua. It's not going to, you got to let this word penetrate. You must let the truth of Yahweh become essence in your life. It becomes your life. For you to live is the power of this truth. You have your being, your movement is in what the word of Yah says. Your strength is in what the word of Yah says. And when you do that, then the word will watch over you. The power of Yahshua, the promise of Yah will watch over you. Yahshua is the strength of Yah. He will watch over us. For the word will preserve us. It will watch our steps, our footsteps. Our feet will not go in a path that is not ordained by Yah. They will not. Hallelujah. Those that are the sons of Yah, they're not led by the Ruah. Those that are sons of Yah, they're led by His Ruah. They're led by the Spirit of Yah. And so when our natural mind leads us against the power of the Torah of Yah, He is not watching over that. He is not. That's why, brothers and sisters, we must see what Yah is doing, and we must get understanding of that. And when you get understanding, you must lay it to heart and say, I cannot go against this. You must do that. You cannot resist the truth. You resist the devil. And the way you resist him, you submit unto the word of Yah. Then you resist the devil, he will flee. The reason he doesn't flee in your emotions, take advantage of you, because you have not submitted unto the word of Yahweh. You must submit to the word of Yahweh first. And then you resist the enemy, and then he will flee. That is the order. It's not going to come any other way. You don't resist him and not submitting unto the word of Yah. You must submit unto the word of Yahweh. So keep guard our minds, guard our beings, Yah, guard Yisrael, and let us not be ashamed. For I will put my trust in you. I will put my confidence, my trust in you. I will allow you, Yah, to direct my path, because I know if you do not guard our path, then we are on an errant, crooked path unto hell. And that is the truth. And the ruah of the power of the nature of that instruction, even in the very mind and in the spirit of Solomon, he repeats almost identical what David said in Mishlei in Proverbs 3:26. It says in Mishlei 3:26, he says, for Yahweh shall be your or our confidence. Do you understand that? It is nothing like a child knowing that the child has confidence in the parent or parents. When a child does something, the parent takes away the fear. Come on, jump. And the child will jump. So Yah is saying, just trust me. That's what he is saying. Trust me. I can do a better job watching than you. He said, for Yahweh shall be your confidence and shall guard or keep your foot from being taken. Now, are you going to keep your foot from being taken, or Yahweh? Now, the only way he's going to do that, he must be your confidence. You must have assurance in him. And my friends, you're not going to get that slumbering and sleeping. A little sleep, a little falling of hand, then poverty. You become poor in your ruah. You can tell a poor man from a man of wealth. His skin is different. I don't care what you say. It is just the truth. His countenance looked different. It's more healthier. It's more revived. Poor man, you can tell. His skin is not clean. The fragrance of his body is not like a rich man. Because a poor man, he eats things that that clash with his odor. Rich man, he tends to eat things that are proper for the balance and the nutrients of his body. He does. That's how they eat. And so he doesn't smell like a poor man. And we that are poor in Ru'ah, because we're not eating the host of bread. We're not eating what Yah commands us. We're not doing that. We're not receiving this. And because we're not receiving what he says, we have no confidence in him. You can never show yourself approved until you're listening to me. I want all y'all to hear this. That you got time to spend in frivolous frivolity and jocularity, but no time for Yah. You cannot be approved of unto Yah unless you study. You are not approved unto Yah unless you study. You can walk in your hypocrisy all you want to and think you're getting by, but you're not getting by. You're not. Study to show yourself approved unto Yah. You must do that. And that is the thing that the enemy has removed away from us, has he not? No studying at all. There's no delight in studying the scripture of Yah. You got off a choir because it is the truth. No delight in that. You must study to show yourself approved. This is what Yah commands. So he approves of this. His hands, his watchful eyes upon that. So you study to show yourself approved unto Yahweh. And you rightly divide the Torah of Yah, the word of truth. You divide it. You rightly do it. What do you mean, preacher? Well, when the word of Yah attacks you and shows you your shortcomings and shows you how small you are, then you rightly allow the principles of that truth to be applied unto you. You let the word of Yah deal with your inward parts, your mind, your natural being. You let it deal with every aspect of your life. Yah's watching over us. He's watching over Israel, his seed, his elect ones, those that he has elected. Everyone is not elected of Yahweh. And that's the truth, because only those that are elected of Yah, he watches over them. He preserves them. He guards them. He guards those that have been elected by him. And it's one thing for sure, brothers and sisters, when one gets understand the character of this watching of Yah, I want to show you the character and the beauty of it. I want to show you this. Turn quickly to the 31st chapter of Mishlei, chapter 31 in verse 25. This is an illustration of the watchful care of Yah over Israel and the intimacy of this watchful care and how pure it is. It says in Mishlei 31 verse 25, it talks about this virtuous woman. Does not strength belong to Yah? Is that not honor in his clothing? Well, what is his clothing? It is his tzedakah, is his righteousness, isn't it not? So it illustrates this pure woman, this one that has been born of the power of Yah, this virtue nature, her care for the things of Yisrael as Yah cares for Yisrael. So strength and honor are her clothing. She is cloaked with honor. She is cloaked with the honor of Yah. She honors Yah. Her life is based on what Yah commands and instructs her. Strength and honoring are her clothing, and she rejoices in time to come. She knows the time that is coming. Hallelujah. We can even rejoice in the time that's here. But this is the true sense of a virtuous woman. Yah is going to rejoice in the beauty or him receiving his beautiful bride. Yahshua comes for the bride. He's going to rejoice in that. So she rejoices in the time to come. She sees beyond when one is truly watching, and that is what the Sofa of Yah is. It sees beyond just this time now. It sees beyond this immediately. You understand? It sees beyond this. It sees beyond that distance. And it watches down the road. When Mr. President Bush comes to North Carolina, Charlotte, you think that they come that day and prepare for him to come? They come here weeks before he comes. Secret services planning the route, going over the route, checking potholes. They do that, brothers and sisters. And so when he comes, they shut down the whole highway. If you've ever been in Charlotte, when Mr. Bush comes, or Mr. Clinton, they shut down, if he's traveling northbound on 85, they shut down everything that the exit he gets on, and every exit between where he's going to get on, no one can get on. Nobody. That's the way it is. The street that he traveled, there's no other car but him. And they're an entourage when that presidential plane drops, that there are 15, 20 vehicles that come out of the gut of that thing that he's driving. Do you understand? So when one has the virtuous nature of Yah, they are watching. Not only are they watching Yah, but they're watching that they keep everything that he commands them in perspective. So she rejoices in times to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Do you all hear that? Is that not what the word of Yah speaks to us, wisdom? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the Torah of kindness. This Jezebel spirit today has no Torah of kindness. In her mouth is the law of kindness. I read to us in wisdom, yet the people saw and did not understand, nor take such a thing to live, that Yahweh's unmerited favor and mercies are upon his elect. You understand, you see the nature of this virtuousness of the true bride of Israel. There's a law of mercy. She understands the unmerited favor and the kindness of Almighty Yahweh. Her tongue is the Torah of kindness. She looks well, she saw far. Now that is what that denotes, that she looks well. She looks well to the way of her household. Does Yah look well to the way of his household? He looks well, my brothers and sisters. He knows when we're naked. He knows what needs to come off. But she so far, she looks well to the way of her household. And she eats not the bread of idleness. Is Yah idle? He is never idle. You don't eat the bread of idleness, do you? Hallelujah. Just be honest. Hallelujah. She eats not the bread of idleness. Her time is spent on the things of Yah. She eats not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her Barak, bless. Now, if you are the true seed of Israel, we are the sons of Yah. We will rise up, we will call him bless. Abra, bless you, Yah. Dodah Yah. Dodah Yah. Songs of Todah out of your mouth. For another day that Yah has granted unto me, I am glad every day that I am alive. I don't care how I feel physically, that has no implication on the wonderful works of Yah and the watchful care over Yah. So the seed of Israel, they truly rise up early and they rise up. We are children, are we not? And they barak, they call him blessed. They do not grumble and complain and mutter and call upon the bewitching spirit of hell, but they barak Yah. They call him blessed. That is a very corrupt spirit. I want to warn us all on that one. You rise up, you raise hell going to bed, you raise hell getting up. You complain going to bed and you complain getting up. That is of a witchcraft nature. It is of hell and it's not of Yahweh. He says that the children, they rise up and they bless the Aimah. They bless her husband also and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel us them all. Favor is deceit and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears Yahweh, she shall have tehillah of praises from above. And we that fear Yahweh, he will say this, this is my well-beloved child in whom I am well pleased in. Did he not say that of Yahshua? Sure he did. You think that our expectation is any less? Did he watch over him? Did he watch over the whole choreographic scene? Did he order every footstep? Did his foot slip into the path of hell and darkness? No, it did not. He watched over him. And if he doesn't watch over us, we're going to slip into darkness. Our minds are going to steal away. We're going to slip away from him. And we're going to go after these carnal things that pollutes our minds and turn us against from the Torah of Yah. We become adversaries of Yah. We began to fight against him and kick against the prick. And you're not going to win, my friends. And that is the truth. So we rise up in the morning to know that he has watched over us. You understand that pure virtuous woman, she watches over her house. She watches over her children. She makes sure that it's warm in the house. She makes sure there's water. Has not Yah done that? We have a well that flows of living water. Hallelujah, that never runs dry. It's been a drought here, but the water of the well, of the living well of Yahshua, it has not run dry. Hallelujah. The mouth has not become parched, or the tongue become poisoned by the parchment because there is no liquid or no water to drink. There's a cool well, there's a living well. For the word of Yah, this truth, this living truth of Yahshua, it refreshes the inward parts. It causes life to become invigorated. That's why the enemy keeps you away from it. It invigorates what Yah has put in you. He'd rather you be idle and sitting and chattering. I don't even know why I'm going this direction, but we must hear it. Hallelujah. That's why we can rise up and bless him, knowing he's watched over us. Knowing that he's cared for us. Knowing that our steps did not slip. Oh, you've had some of those tormenting dreams whereby you were slipping into hell. You thought you were dying. Yet his watchful care, he has watched over Israel. That's why he wants us to take it to heart. That's why he wants us to take it to heart. May not be sitting around idle. It induces a slothful nature, drowsiness and sleepiness. Hallelujah. We must be awake. In this hour, we must be vigilant. We must be sober. And our eyes must be open, brothers and sisters. Do you understand? It has to be that way. Because if it's not, we're not going to be watchful. We're not going to watch or guard his Torah. And so the enemy keeps you sedated with drunkenness of the flesh. And you become very idle. Come on, you sit in there 2 hours and you tell me that the value of his stroll has no importance. I would open it up and read it if I fall asleep. I would do that. Come on here, you hypocrites. Don't play with this preacher. I would do that. Well, there are many times I'm reading the stroll and I may doze off there. But that's all right. I know what I doze off with in my mind. I'd rather doze off with that in my mind than something that is far removed from him. For that shall preserve me and watch over me. Sure it will. So this is the essence and the beauty of the watchful care of Yah. He shows us here in this virtuous analogy. Is not Yah pure? Are all of his ways pure? Is his word pure, tried as silver 7 times? Do we truly trust in that? So he shows us the character of this watching of the home and watching of the affairs of Israel, that we may be one echad in Yahshua. This is what this illustrates. This is what the book illustrates, brothers and sisters. It's his ahava toward his people. And yet he shall still choose Israel. He has an elect remnant of the seed. He brought them out, did he not? And he killed them by the hundreds of thousands for their rebelliousness, their wickedness, their sinful ways, their corruption. And he, out of that, he preserved. And he watched over a remnant of the Zerah, just a little bit, just a little tiny seed. That's it. And that little seed germinated. Seeds came out of that. And not all the seeds were tough. Some had to be discarded. Some had to. And when you get an ear of corn, one side may look so beautiful. Another side, you can see where the worms have poisoned it, or just ate out some of the ears, some of the kernels of corn. So out of that, and then the next generation, just a few little seeds fell off. And out of that, just the multiplicity of his people, that there's just a little remnant of the seed. You tell me that the seed of Abraham is greater than the stars of Hashemayim and the sand of the sea. That's what, yeah, he meant what he said. He did. He meant that. But there's only a small remnant. Hallelujah. And no, it's not going to be a million years for us to reproduce like that. It's not going to happen. Hallelujah. Yahshua is coming. That's what we better allow the word of Yah to govern, to Mishra, to govern our minds, our hearts. We must, brothers and sisters, listen to me. That's why the enemy takes you away from it. Come on, look within your own. Do an introspective search of your own heart. And say to yourself, you just talk to your own mind. You don't have to talk out loud. Do I really love studying the book? You don't love it. Do I have a love for his Torah? You don't. I'm here to tell you, you don't. Very few of us in here that really take any kind of time with them. You don't like that, but it's still the truth, my friends. Hallelujah. It is. Very few. That they're energized. Hallelujah. As I said to you all, I like it when it's raining on the first day and it's quiet because I get in that book and I can sit there for hours. I can. And that's just the truth. Are you boasting in that? No, because you can't do the same. You like folly and frivolity. You like simple things. I like things of great value and importance. And this is the only important book there is. I don't care about the historians or anything. I care about what this says. You understand she did not have this attitude by being idle. She had to understand the depths of the Torah. And many of you all cannot answer simple questions if someone asks you that. Because there's no delight in the truth. Hallelujah. I'm telling us the truth. That you may rise up from that position of immaturity. Hallelujah. That you may begin to exercise the strength of the true seed of Yisrael. I can look at your expressions and tell how anemic you are, okay? I can. And that's the truth. Scripture says in Yeshaya, Isaiah. I want to read beginning in the 44th chapter, verse 1. I want to show us here, brothers and sisters, the power of this influence, of the power of the Ru'ah of Yah, as he calls his Ru'ah, or the Spirit, to be the influence upon his people that we may understand and know what he commands unto us. Yeshaya 44, Isaiah 44, verse 1. Yet now hear, O Yaakov, my Eve, or servant, and Yisrael, I love this, whom I have chosen, Baha. I have elected, I have chosen you. You are my sovereign choice. Now he has chosen, Baha. He speaks unto Yaakov, Yisrael. He says in verse 2, this says Yahweh that made you and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O Yaakov, my servant, and you, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen. He says here, for I will pour out water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my Ruah upon no one but that seed, upon your seed, and my blessings upon your offspring. Now, I want to pause there for a moment. We see this profound power of the Ruah of Yah. He said, I want to pour out my Ruah upon your seed. Now, what is the Ruah of Yah for? Does it come to watch? Does it come to judge? Does it come to reprove the world of sin? Does it come to direct us into some truth, partial truth, or all truth? Now that is what the Ruah of Yah does. It watches over the mind of Yisrael. It preserves the content of what Yah has put there. It's written his Torah. Israel had to go look at the Torah. We watch. We guard the Torah of Yah. That's what we do. We guard it. Hallelujah. So he said, I'm going to pour out house of Israel, Yaakov, the house of Israel. Your sins have brought this divisiveness and separation. That's what brings the separation. It's our sin that brings this separation of the spiritual things that are needed for our minds, that will enlighten us and strengthen us and cause us to be vibrant with growth and strength. And this carnal attribute of us rejects, and that's what we have in Yaakov and Yisrael. We're ready to wrestle with Yah until we convince him it's not going to be that way. He said, I'm going to pour out my ruah. He's going to pour out the water upon the dry ground. Don't you think we look dry? We're some dead, dried bones. We're some dried up, pruny people. Hallelujah. You don't have to be that way. Just come drink from the well freely. I like getting me a drink in the morning. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, I like getting me a drink. I like a drink before I go to bed at night, too. Hallelujah. I like to drink from the well. Nothing like the well water. Nice, refreshing drink. Hallelujah. It's better than soda pop. It's better than Kool-Aid. Just give me the cold drink of the water, the living water that flows from the veins of Emmanuel. He said, I'm going to pour out my ruah upon Yaakov, upon the seed and the offspring of Israel and Yaakov. You all hear that? Not this heathen, wicked people that rejects his truth. He is watching over Israel. And he said, I will be your succor. I will help Israel. Why would one watch unless they're there to help? Come on, my brothers and sisters. It's like trying to someone walking on crutches. So you watch so in case they fall, you help. Come on, Brother Jason, watching Brother Allen. He watched Brother Allen, even though he could get up and roll. He wants to help. And so Yah is a very present helper in the time of trouble. How do you know it's trouble? Because he's watching. And we need his watchful eyes, brothers and sisters. We ought to be intrigued by that. Watch over me. Preserve me, Yah. And when you know he's watching you, you will not go the path you're going. Because he watches your footsteps. That's what he does. And the reason I say it this way, our feet have slipped because we have not allowed Yah to watch. We have not allowed him to guide our steps. And we delight in the truth of Yah. He will guide all of our steps. He's watching us to make sure that we don't fall. You parents, do you watch the babies when they take the first steps? Mama says, well, be careful now. She's going to hurt herself now. Let her walk. She'll be all right. Hallelujah. See, it's the tenderness and the secure comfort of the mother. It is the boldness and the strength of the Abbot that cause the child. The child looks up over them and they are sure that they can do what is set before them. He has given us the word and he's given us the living truth, hasn't he? So that ought to assure us, brothers and sisters, that we proceed on the path that he is watching over us, that he's going to help us on this path. If he doesn't help us, we're miserable. We're in trouble. And we don't allow him to help us. It's almost like our nature. Someone wants to help us. We don't want to allow that. Well, I can do it. We're arrogant. We're pompous. But you don't think I can do this? Not the issue whether you can do it or not. For my hands are free to help you. I'll tell you what, if you want to help someone, come help me. I have no problem with that. When I'm pulling weeds, you can't help me with that. Digging yams, come on. Work it out there, it's hot, come on. He said, I will pour my ruah upon this dry places, dry people. And verse 4, I love this. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water course. They shall spring up with life. It's nothing like when the rain falls upon the grass, especially the grass that we have around here. It is called coastal. It loves rain and humidity. And it truly grows when it has that. I don't care how hot it is. If there's some rain, this grass will grow like no other grass. It grows. It grows. You hear me? And so he says, when I pour out this power of my living ruah, then they shall grow, or they shall rise up like the grass. They shall flourish. We're not flourishing that way. He's not watching us to mow us down. He's watching over us to help us. And that's why he sent his mishpatim, his judgment, brothers and sisters, because that is your assurance that he's watching you. You don't reject that. You don't fight that. We are very hostile to any form of mishpat, of judgment, are we not? Come on, my friends. We're very hostile. Wives get hostile with husbands. Husbands get hostile with wives. Children and everyone get hostile. Brothers and brothers, sisters. That's not of Yah. It's a juvenileness, it's an immaturity that we have, and it must be fixed. Well, how do you fix it? How does a young man cleanse his ways? How does a young man cleanse his ways? Come on, Brother Pat, huh? Say it loud. Well, how do you think you're going to cleanse your way? By taking heed. He show us mercy and truth. Then your lawless ways are purged. So he shows us mercy tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, brothers and sisters, listen. Can you imagine the amount of people died your age today, Brother Dale? Can you imagine the ones died my age? Can you imagine the one died his Obadiah's age today? You don't think that they died today, sister? Nah. Your age. Can you imagine the ones that died today? That's your age. Can you imagine that? And he shows us his mercy. We don't take this to heart. Come on, he what? I'm going to give him Todah in life and death and afflictions, whatever it be. I'm going to bless my Abba. He is our helper. He watches over us. He preserves us. He is the one that watches over us. He is the one that saw far over Yisrael. He sees beyond what we see, brothers and sisters. He sees more than the next day. He sees Brother Dale and them headed up to Virginia here on Friday morning, and he's already got the path laid out. I'm glad of that. I don't know about you, but I'm glad of that. That there will be people head that same way, and there will be thousands head that same way, and many will not make it to that destination. They will die. And you will see the rug. You say, well, that doesn't seem as though they should have died. I've seen cars that are viciously torn to pieces and people get out. And I've seen some that the bumps. What? And you know they're dead. Hallelujah. So he sees beyond the peripheral. He watches. He watches. He watches over the tav and the rough. You understand? I'm glad he sees my evil. Hallelujah. I don't want nothing hid down in me. I want it exposed. Judge me, correct me, Yah. Judge me, correct me. In your judgment, correct me, not in your anger. I don't want to bring me to naught. Brings you down. Watch over Israel, Yah. Preserve them. Watch over us because we need that Almighty, Yah. Hallelujah. Without him watching over us, man, what would that be? Hallelujah. He is going to preserve his elect. He is going to watch over them. He is going to preserve them. And he is going to have a remnant of the seed. Listen, Yeshayah, Isaiah 65, 8. It says in Yeshayah 65, verse 8, Isaiah. It says, this says Yahweh, as the new wine is found in the cluster, as one says, destroy it not. That's all right. You see, someone is watching over the cluster. Don't destroy it. He says, for a blessing is in it. I'm glad of that. He's not going to allow the enemy to destroy us, even though you look like a piece of trash. Even though we have nothing that is worth anything. I don't care how he squeezes you. There's no life of his ruah that flows. He said, don't destroy the cluster. He says, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. Do you understand that there are many, my brothers and sisters? There are many that are being destroyed this night, this day. Because they do not have the intense desire to know Him, to understand the truth of Yah. He said, I watch over that cluster. Oh, I know there's some bad grapes in it. When you all go out here to the grapevine, these scuffer knocks, the scuffer dines, there's some that you put in your mouth, they're just rambunctious, sweet, aren't they not? And some I don't like. I'll tell you the fact, I like the white grapes up there. I like the sweet ones. I don't like the tarty ones. I like sweet grapes. You understand? And yet you can see one that is perfectly shaped in the cluster, and there are those that are just as rotten as they come. Hallelujah. So Yah says, don't destroy the cluster. Because there are some there that they are the remnant of Israel. And I'm going to watch over that. Don't destroy it. Because I'm going to preserve. I'm going to preserve. He's going to preserve his seed. Whether we buy that or not. Whether we buy it or not. He says, and I will bring forth a zerah, a seed out of Yaakov and out of Yahuta, and an inheritance of my mountain. And look at this. And my elect. And my Bohea, they shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell there. Now, in order for them to dwell there and him to preserve that remnant or that seed, listen, brothers and sisters, he must watch over it. If he doesn't watch over us, we're not going to be preserved. We've done a magnificent job destroying every pure thing that he has placed in us. You're not going to be preserved. He is going to have to preserve Israel. He's going to have to watch over us. Without that, woe unto us. So watch over us, Yah. Watch Israel. Preserve them. Preserve your elect. Show them. Keep them, I pray, Yah, that they may know that it is you. I want to read this last verse and I'm going to close. It says in Michael, chapter 7, verse 7. He says, therefore will I so far, I will watch or look to Yahweh. I will wait for the sovereign ruler of my Yahshua. Yahweh will hear me. Now, isn't that most important? You know someone is watching and waiting for you. Will you not be watching and waiting? Bless us are they that watch and wait that we so far. And the only way you're going to watch is that you must have your mind trained to do that. If you train your mind in comic books, all you want to read is comic books. If you train your mind for folly, all you want to do is hear folly. If you train your mind for the most valued virtues of life, then all you want to talk about is what's in the virtuous manifesto of Yah. So I want to suffer. I want to watch for Yah. Because he's watching for me. I want to watch for him that I do not bring him to shame. I want to watch for Yah that I do not dishonor him. I want to watch for Yah that I honor his Hamashiach, Yahshua. I want to watch for him because he watches for me. That I will not fall into the darkness of the pit of darkness and hell. And I do not want his name to be dishonored among a heathen generation. So I will watch for him. I will so far for my Abba. As he watches for us. So I say to you, Israel, watch. For the watcher, the watchman, is watching you. Hallelujah. And you're not going to get by. May the shalom of Yah rest upon Israel. May he bless you, all you that are listening by the live stream. May he strengthen you all. May he cause your love to be encouraged. May he bless you and enrich you in the knowledge of Yahshua, the Lamb. Bless you all tonight. Bless you. And strength tonight. I want to say this before I close. I was telling you all about the precious brother. That brother Wartlow, the singer. He's a beautiful singer. I got his music. I have them. His wife sent me the files. And we need to get them up, brother, so we can hear them. But he called me today. And I want you to hear the comment, what he said on the recorder. He's a very beautiful brother. He's out there in Omaha, Nebraska. That's where that killing was. But the boy just went in the mall. That's where he's at. But I talked with him. He called me back. He called me once he left a message. And then he called me back. And we talked for about a half an hour, 40 minutes. I had to tell him, brother, I just got things to do. So, yeah, bless you and I. May his strength rest upon you. But he said to me, because I tell people, you go listen first. Because I tell the men to listen. They never contact me again. Pastor, Elder Friars out there, I write them, they will not write. Jacob Meyer's son up here, they will not write. They will not. I didn't know even Terry. You all remember Terry, the heavy man that came here? He's an apostle. He's a Shalishi, he's an apostle. I'd rather be just what I am. You understand? I'm a sword. I say it this way, sword. I'm a sword. I'm a sword-toting warrior. Do you understand? That's what I am. I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. Hallelujah. And so the brother, we began to dialogue. We began to talk. He said, Pastor Roberts, when I listen to the messages, I sat there and I said, man, I got to call this man. He has a very beautiful spirit out there. You certainly will enjoy him. You really would. And he said that he was not a man to try to talk over me. He said, Pastor Robert, I can talk to you all day long. Well, I didn't have time to talk to him all day long. You understand. I don't have time to talk. There's a woman that called me. I said, I don't have time to just talk to you all the time when you call. I'm not going to do that. Hallelujah. But the brother, you know, there's a remnant of the seed that they are there. There's a people that's sincere with you. And I certainly could tell the way he talked, the little assembly that he oversees out there, that there's a true nature in this brother. He said, I could not believe. I've been all around, Pastor Robert, but I've never seen anything like that place. You understand? And that's the truth. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what you believe. That is the truth. I know that. You understand? Hallelujah. Brother Paul, his wife, she was blessed to come and it blessed his house to bring her here. For what? To listen to this kind of preaching. Hallelujah. I've seen what Yah's done for him. Hallelujah. And he has a genuine love. Do you have that card, sister? I wanted Brother Pat to read that. He left a card to us in an offering. And he blessed you all. It was a very beautiful card. Even it really was. I wanted to read that tonight. Yah bless you all. Also, Pastor Robinson out there, he sent greeting, and also Brother Wardlow as well. He said that he was looking for some songs, and he somehow someone gave him three of the songs from here. We got to put together some very nice CDs, brothers, and said, Brother Pat, I want to do that. You all get up there and get your little outfits made and do something beautiful and some beautiful singing. I really want to do that to send it out to the people. But he said, Pastor Roberts, my children, they sang that song. It was one song. I can't think of it right now, but that's all they did. Every day, all day. He said, that's all they did. There's a pastor up there, he and his wife, they listen to us all the time in Chicago. He called me the other day and said, Pastor Roberts, I've taken my son out of school. I've done this. We're homeschooling him. We're doing this. We're doing that. We're doing this. Hallelujah. Come on, this man has a bachelor's. I think he has two bachelor's degrees or something like that. What, man, teach? Come on. Why, he cannot do that. Hallelujah. Even the transformation of his whole life, just by hearing. There must be some men that stand with integrity. We must have that. Everyone is not corrupt. We tend to judge people by our own corruptness. I would judge you by what the book says, by what the word. I see your actions, and indeed I know what scripture says, and I would judge you out of this. And so our reaction to that, because of our own corruption, we tend to, because we're corrupt, we tend to judge with this corrupt vision. That's the truth. Hallelujah. And so that's why we can't see the hand of Yah in the things that he's doing in this hour. He's going to use man. Do you understand? Whether you like that or not. He's going to use man. Sure he is. No, he's not using a jackass or rabbit, an unclean thing. He had to use that unclean thing to speak to an unclean thing. You understand? That jackass has great significance. Then Balaam, come on, boy, you don't see that. Hallelujah. When a fool cannot hear Yah, that's what he is, a jackass. I'd rather Yahshua speak to me. I don't want no jackass speaking to me. I don't want no monkey. I want Yahshua, the living word of Yah. I want that to speak to me. Understand that? When he has to go to that extreme, that's a rebellious Jezebel spirit. Hallelujah. So there are those out there. There's a remnant of the seeds that's out there that loves Yah and that truly care for the things of Yah. We pray for Elder Yisrael Yaakov there in the prison house. those fools coming against him down there. I knew. Come on. When a man stands for truth, when he... Of course, when I go down to that prison house, I bust the doors down. I don't care what anyone says. You understand? And I want them to record me because maybe the jailer's here. Maybe the officer here. Hear what I got to say. I have no problem with that. No whatsoever. Because what I say, I don't have to hide nothing. And I don't miss my words at all. And so this foolish generation, he wrote the letter. I thought it was for Sister Rivon. It was for the community. But he said that, you know, Elder was right. This generation want smooth words and smooth prophecy. You talk to them sweet. And that's what Elder used to do. He'd get up there and all sweet and all. Sissy. Well, you can't do that. Don't spank them. Just let them do that. No. No, you don't just let a little child act like a fool. You take a stick and you just whip their butt. You understand? Don't do that. Hallelujah. What they will learn. No. You teach them. You train them. Scriptures, they train them. So you take little children in the house of God. You train them. And so they have come against the man. Deacon Ben and Brother Pat will go down there on Friday and strengthen him. They come against him with the chaplain. There's a group, let me say this before I close. There's a group in Dimona, Israel. The man's name is called Benjamin. They left the United States in 1968. They went to Ghana. They first went to Liberia. They went to Ghana. And then they went to Israel. And they called themselves the true seed of Israel. You understand? They believe in polygamy, wives after wives. The men, you know, it's nothing but a damnable, wicked, vile lust. Just like these dogs out here, this Latter-day group out here. They are Latter-day Saints, right? They're not the Kedushans of Yah. Out here in what you call, they take them boys. When the boys get 12, 13 years, they kick them out because they don't want them competing against them old, wicked, vile, damnable, corrupt men with lust for 14, 15-year-old girls. What kind of damn twisted mind that is? I'm a 50-plus-year-old man. I would not even want to even touch a daughter like that. The hell wrong with these crazy people? It's none of y'all. They kick those boys out. Come on, y'all never read it. The lost boys out there in Utah, when they get 12, 13, they kick them out. They cannot marry. They have no wife because all these dogs, they take every last one of the young guys. Some have 20, 30 wives, and they have 15, 20 babies. And so they take these babies from this, and she marries him, and her babies marry. That's how they do it. So they're going to Benjamin there. I'll get down there. Tell Elder I'll get there. When I get there, I set the house, and I hope they come too. Hallelujah. I like a good fight. I like a tough fight. You ain't tough as me. I don't care what you think. I like a tough fight. And I hit awful hard too. I wouldn't even bring you out to any kind of shame like that. Hallelujah. This is the wicked world. These men are dogs. I'm going to finish my book. I got about 20 pages on the booklet on this polygamy. I will show you all. I'm not going to tell you because if I tell you, you ain't going to even study. I can show you where it all began. Hallelujah. It's none of Yah. If it was Yah, it would be in the Torah. What if I do if I got this wife and three more here? What do you do with the third one if you leave her? How do you just, the Torah would teach that. The Torah doesn't teach that. Lies. He meant one man, one woman. That's what he meant. Hallelujah. And I show you exactly where it started. See, you know, I say that, but you all don't read the book because if you read the book, you'll see where it started. And then if you just go to Concordia and look at the man who started, you will know who started it. And you'll see the spirit of the man. Hallelujah. But because you all have no delight in studying the book, you hate Yah because that's why you don't delight in his love letters. When you love him, you want to read the love letters. Makes your heart fat. Here it is, love letters. You love him. That he first loved you. So don't tell me you come on. You wicked hypocrites. And I say it without any apology either. I mean that. You all better get real with him. Hallelujah. Some of you all get excited about trivia stuff. Baby Fardner. Something like that. A little laughter. You better get serious about the things of Yah. Ignorant generation. You have no expression. You get expression about something silly. When it comes to the things of Yah, it doesn't express because there's nothing in you. Corrupt as hell. I don't care if you don't like it. Hallelujah. That troubles me. When I see some of you all, you're dead as hell. And there's something stupid you can see. Hallelujah. Yeah, bless you. I'm a warrior. See that? Y'all see that? Sword of the Ruah. Yahshua is my right hand. That's all right. Yeah, Barakia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid. For me to live is HaMashiach, for me to die, that I will gain the entrance into His presence. That's what I'm living for. Nothing else. No riches. No houses. No land. I'm living to see the mighty one of Israel. In all things we do, Barak you, Yah. Bless everyone that's listening, Yah. We pray for them wherever they are. We don't know them all. But bless them, I pray. We ask it in Yahshua's mighty name. Give us all rest and comfort this night. In the mighty name of Yahshua. Israel cried, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.